We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Something that was announced today that was met with just about universal applause and approval, Chris, from the national sports media. ESPN's decision to move up the release date of this 30 for 30 documentary on Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls called The Last Dance, a documentary, a nine-part documentary on their sixth and final championship team in Chicago, the 97-98 Chicago Bulls. And I saw all of this excitement on Twitter about it, and I asked people if Michael Jordan and those Chicago Bulls teams transcended what is pretty much an anti-NBA town or an apathetic or ambivalent NBA town. We got an NHL team here that's won five Stanley Cups.
No,
pro basketball takes a back seat.
That's the wrong framing. That's the wrong framing, right? So I'm gonna cut in right now. One, this is not an anti-NBA town. There is a subset of hardcore hockey fans who have a big time inferiority complex about the lack of overall popularity that the sport has nationwide, hockey, that is, who want to tell you that nobody watches the NBA here. Some people in the media, namely Dejan Kovacevic, lie through their teeth and ignore ratings that suggest that, yes, people here actually do watch a lot of basketball when it gets to playoff time, want to perpetuate this narrative that people here don't care about basketball. That's not true. It's just a flat-out, bald-faced lie. So let's get that out of the way
right
now.
But don't you think, compared to other major cities,
Yes, it's a more hockey-oriented city, and there is not like a great high school basketball base here. But when Pitt was a really good college program, people got up for it. It's not a hockey town either, by that measure. Because when the Penguins sucked in the early 2000s, they couldn't draw flies and nobody cared whether they stayed or left, except for those very same media people, specifically Dejan probably again here, who want to tell you that it's not a basketball
town. Well, I did not expect the conversation to go in this direction, but I'm actually kind of happy that it did.
I think it's ridiculous, and I'll name names here when I say stuff like this, that people actively try to tamp down the idea that basketball is a popular sport among a lot of people here.
Well, I think most... Chris, I think most places are parochial, and when you don't have a team, it's hard to have a lot of interest in a sport because you don't have a dog in the fight. And I don't think that that's, like, the NHL...
It's not just that, though. It's got to be a good team. The Penguins were a team here. They just stunk,
I know
and
that.
No one cared about
I know that, but hockey planted its flag in Pittsburgh first, and we're not a big enough city to support two winner sport team.
Correct.
So that's
fair.
Yeah, I mean
that's accurate.
Yeah, that's why of the winter sports, the NBA takes a back seat to the NHL here. And I wish it, you know, I'm not saying that because I want to be Mr. Hockey and I want to like broadcast that. I just think it's true. Anyways, so I asked the question, did Pittsburgh get into the 90s Bulls? The Michael Jordan phenomenon. And I don't think I heard from you on it yet, Chris. You lived here during the 90s. You like basketball.
Wouldn't it be ridiculous for me to comment on it on Twitter and give away my position if I'm supposed to be talking to you about it on the air?
Here we go. Is Lennox up yet?
No, he's been sleeping through this, and I think I've brought the goods today.
Okay.
Chris Trapasso, two really good questions to start him off. I think I've brought it. I'm starting to really enter my groove here.
90s Bulls, go.
That was my team. I've talked about early sports memories. The Steelers-Oilers playoff game from the late 80s. The McClendon Grand Slam against the Mets at a game I got to attend in person. The other one that I left out there's a little bit of like Penguins winning their first cup with that 8-0 shutout. I remember watching that. Another very early sports memory, though, is watching Bulls-Lakers when I was a little kid and instinctively wanting the Bulls to win. I don't know why. I think Jordan just had that kind of sway. Think about him. Outside of, like, Ali, he was probably the first team sport athlete that truly became world famous. Would you agree with that? Like, Ali had, because he was an individual athlete, and, like, certain other individual athletes had that worldwide cachet. I think Jordan was the first guy to really have that outside.
You're talking about American athletes?
Yeah, well, yeah, I should say.
I'm not counting,
Pele,
like, Pele in this, yeah. Like,
yeah, right. Pele and guys like that were different. So Jordan in basketball, which, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people know the NBA had its fair share of issues staying afloat for a long time. It was Magic and Bird rescued the league, and then Jordan became the flag bearer. So he was a phenomenon unto himself. I have friends who to this day hate basketball but wore like Air Jordans back in the early 90s because that was the cool thing to wear. So he was a phenomenon. I was super into it. It was one of the only times in my life that I would root for the team that was the front runner. That was the weird thing about the Bulls, at least for me. They were always the better team in these series, and I always rooted for them to win. Like, they were a massive favorite against the Sonics and against the Jazz, and I just wanted to see them win because of Jordan, because he was so larger than life. The other thing I'll say, too, and I saw people tweet this to you, why people I think here were into it, there was the whole phenomenon of Jordan himself. There's a lot of people that listen to this show who were coming of age as sports fans when he was the most famous athlete on the planet, like the Be Like Mike campaign, the marketing machine behind him. Then there was the presence of WGN as a nationwide TV network. Just like the Atlanta Braves have like a bizarre but pretty considerable following across the country because of the Superstation, you have the same basic principle operating for WGN and for Bulls games and for Bulls coverage. You turn on WGN if you have cable. I think they at least for a time period had the Bulls rights, did they not?
They did. A lot of games.
So,
I used to watch the Bulls even after Michael
so,
Jordan
yeah,
left.
So
they'd
you're
still
a guy living
Bulls
in
games.
You're a guy living in relatively speaking rural New York as a kid growing up, and you're able to watch Bulls games. They were the team on NBA on NBC when that was a big deal. It was Michael Jordan and the Bulls. I mean, he was so singular and so transcendent at a time where you didn't have the sort of media that you have today where you can get, you know, I think it's a lot easier to be a star and have your own little pocket of influence, that in towns like Pittsburgh where there was no hoops team, he was just by virtue of his own stardom, he was a big deal.
Yep, I'm echoing a lot of that. I remember my dad went down to Florida on a business trip and I wanted him to go to Sarasota for the White Sox spring training and try to get Michael Jordan's autograph when he was in between stints with the Bulls and tried baseball. When he came back to Chicago and wore 45 that first year, the first game was a Sunday against the Pacers. And I remember my mom let us skip church to go home and watch the game on NBC.
I think that probably was a day that I went to church and specifically said to my parents, can we go early so I can watch this game?
I remember Gatorade ran a promotion that year. They won and had 72 wins, the Bulls, in 96. And I'm saying this because my boss is in studio and he was the Sonics voice for a while, their PA voice. Yes, I remember that Gatorade had a thing where you could, like, the cap would have the name of the team and the number of games they were going to win the NBA Finals in, and, like, just trying to get as many Gatorades as possible to get Bulls in, like, 4 or 5 that year, and I think they won in 6.
Yeah,
I remember where I was. I taped the shot over Brian Russell, and my brother might have been, like, 3 or... Stop. My brother might have been 3 or 4 at the time, and I remember, like, making him watch it because I thought, like, it should be, like, you know, burned into his brain. The flu game, of course. Yeah, I mean, I was absolutely a bandwagon Bulls fan to the point where even into high school and into college, when he had left the Bulls, when they were awful, when they had Ron Artest and Elton Brand and Jay Williams, when he got into a motorcycle accident.
He made them into a national brand. I mean, he made them.
I kept watching.
He made them into something, yeah, pretty singular. I think the thing, too, that made him so popular was his primary, well, not his foil, because he always got one over on them, But the fact that he antagonized a New York team, and you've called the Knicks New York's favorite team, right? Pound for pound. I think you've made an argument that
inside,
I find a little bit specious.
Inside New York City, I think the Knicks are the most popular team.
They're the most beloved across the board. They transcend yes. that Jets, Mets, or the Yankees. Okay. The fact that that was the team constantly, and I mean constantly, trying to take him down once he got past those Pistons teams of the late 80s, early 90s, I think that added to the flair too. So you have this built-in rivalry with Spike Lee. You have these built-in games where he's going to go to Madison Square where everything feels like a bigger deal, right? And he's always going to get one over on them. I think that was a big part of it too. It was a perfect storm, man.
Some of these tweets are interesting.
His ascendance was.
You know, I asked, did Pittsburgh get into the 90s Bulls? Papa Drew writes, our whole family got into it, took family to Cleveland to see Jordan. It was his highest scoring game ever, 69 points. We went to see him in Cleveland. Yes. Pittsburgh Tom writes, I actually met Michael Jordan at a Pittsburgh Pirates game in 1987, got my picture taken with him. It was in a special section of Three River Stadium, co-sponsored by Nike and Foodland. I can tell you there was a lot of people dying to meet him and get his autograph. Vinny writes, Andrew, vividly remember making plans with my friends to watch the games. Was in Ocean City, Maryland. There's a Pittsburgher. With eight guys for the flu game, we didn't go out until we finished watching the game. We definitely planned social lives around watching the Bulls.
Fleetwood. Funny, this backs up what I'm saying, by the way, that there are plenty... Now, there are people that will say I was a Jordan fan, but I stopped watching the NBA. But
got a lot of that,
there
too.
There are people that... But there are people that are into basketball still who are more than happy, who might have gotten into it because of MJ.
Hagman writes, I actually included NBA scores and news in my updates in the 90s. Wayne writes, yes, big fan, especially after they played an exhibition game at Civic Arena. I don't remember that.
Neither do I, actually. I remember what LeBron and the Cavs did. I think LeBron would have had the same impact had he come along at the same time in world history as Michael Jordan, just in terms of transcendence. Jordan was just – there were so many other like serendipitous factors, like Nike getting him and then the Air Jordan shoe, his style of play. Just everything about that was
Brian
the perfect
writes,
storm of media.
I was obsessed. Also, this was pre-cable for my house, so I remember if there was an NBA game or broadcast TV, it was probably the Bulls.
Yeah, that okay. Who was that person's name?
Brian. That's you.
That's the closest thing to me because I referenced the WGN part of this, but obviously I didn't live that firsthand. And he's right. Whenever there was an NBA on NBC game on like a Sunday, it felt like it was almost always Chicago versus blank. You know, Pacers, Knicks, maybe a team from the West like the Suns when they were good, or maybe you
yeah, with
Sonics
like Bob Costas and Matt Gukas calling Bulls
right.
and
Ahmad
Magic.
Rashad, I think would do that game too as the third man in, or like Steve Snapper Jones or whatever.
Yep. Bill Walton in studio before
but
he
it,
went
but
completely
it felt,
insane.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't think I'm making something up here. It felt like a bigger deal way back then. You'd have Round Ball Rock playing. You'd have the little NBA on NBC intro. Costas would have his little narration, which always seemed super.
I mean, even a pro hockey guy like Josh Yoey.
Cool.
Josh Yoey says 100%
yes.
Pittsburgh got into it. Here's Allen. Nobody gave a crap. Two Penguin Stanley Cups. They were it. More... Move on from NBA.
Did you say Allen, or is that Allen? Allen is that a
said,
day on burner account?
No, Allen says nobody gave a crap. Two cups. Move on from NBA, where one or two teams have hope. Even worse in the 90s.
Wait, read that again one more time.
Nobody
please.
Gave a crap. Two Peng. Yeah. Two cups. These were it. Move on from NBA, where one or two teams have hope. Even worse in the 90s, where I guess zero teams had hope in the 90s. Chain Man writes, why would Pittsburgh get into a sports team from another town? I rooted for Jordan in the 80s, and by the 90s, I no longer cared about non-Pittsburgh sports teams. Craig, you're obsessed
God,
with Pittsburgh sports
what a
teams.
Sad provincial interest.
In 1993, when you were growing up, would you root harder for the Chicago Bulls or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
So while all my friends would have like Steelers or Pirates sheets and stuff hanging up in their room, my room decked out top to bottom Chicago Bulls. That was by far in my early sports memories as well, centered more around them than the early Penguins cups.
Yeah, I don't feel bad saying my in order of favorite sports teams. in, like, let's say 92, it was Pirates for sure, number one.
Yep.
Bulls, Steelers, Penguins.
Do you remember in 98, this will really, if you guys are true Bulls fans like I was, you'll remember this. The Bulls lost Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals to the Pacers in 98.
And Reggie pushed off and hit that three late
against
him.
And that series went back to Chicago tied. And I remember for like 3 or 4 days smarting like, oh my God, like if they lose this series and he doesn't go out a winner.
A champ.
Like, it's going to ruin my life.
I think by that point, I actually had turned a little bit in that particular series. I actually was rooting for Indiana because of how cool, like, of how invincible the Bulls seemed at that point, and because Miller was such like a delightful foil for all of this by being just like this smack talking spindly goofball who was hitting threes. I think I want to say, and you can go fact check me. Yeah, you can fact check me on this. Maybe I'm wrong. I want to say that is either the only time or one of only two times in their six title runs that they were pushed to a game seven at any point. And I think in the second three-peat, it was the only one.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.